Welcome to a very deceitful edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play on where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service. Tell you which games. I lost it already. See, the problem is we lose 2 weeks in between some of these times because games are long and I don't remember how to do anything. Liza P, we're Game Pass or Pass. That's what we're here to talk about. Is it worth your time? I am Corey. I'm joined by the man with the long nose, Basher.
I guess I do have a big nose.
did I just do that glass shattering thing of like you're gonna look in the mirror every time like oh god, my nose is huge.
Just what I needed on this Sunday morning. Another complex.
What was the first one?
I mean, just being me apparently, but now just like the inner me, but now the outer me is shattered as well. Noah, thanks a lot. Appreciate
it. That's what we do on this podcast. We shatter your inner feelings, I guess. That has nothing to do with what we're going to talk about. We're going to be talking about Lies of P, but before that.
It kind of does.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Did you know that you can let us know what your favorite game on Game Pass is and maybe a game that we passed on? You're like, absolutely not. Maybe it was Remnant from the Ashes. Maybe you liked that game so much that you decided to leave a review how much you hate us. But
that guy. Well, before you continue, that guy, I would like to say, if for some reason he's still listening, your franchise has been redeemed officially by me anyway until it hits Game Pass, because Remnant 2 is very much playable.
Again, we liked the game. It just wasn't. It wasn't quite there in terms of like being able to play it.
Now it is there. That is a congratulations, you win.
That is a problem. 574-651-9256 is the phone number. You can call, text, whatever you want to do. If you want to let us know what you think about your favorite games, but enough begging, let's talk about Lies of P. Here are the details on this one. Developed by NeoWiz Games, published by NeoWiz Games. Lies of P is a thrilling Souls-like that takes the story of Pinocchio, turns it on its head, and sets it against the dark, elegant backdrop of Belle Epoque. I don't know that word. You are that's the location, Belle Epoque.
Oh, I don't. Okay, yeah. Sure.
You are a puppet created by Geppetto, who's caught in a web of lies with unimaginable monsters and untrustworthy figures standing between you and the events that have befallen the world of Lies of P. You are awakened by a mysterious voice that guides you through the plague city of Krat, a once lively place that has been poisoned by badness and bloodlust. In our Souls-like, you must adapt yourself and your weapons to face untold horrors, untangle the unfathomable secrets of the city's elites, and choose whether to confront predicaments with the truth or weave lies to overcome the journey to find yourself. It's available on Xbox One. I didn't know that, actually. Xbox One and Xbox Series X and S and PC. I played on console. I cannot comment on the PC. What'd you play on console?
I played on both.
Oh, okay. So I can't say on Xbox One. I'm assuming there's probably not a performance mode. But on Series X and S, you do get a 30 frames or a 60 frames mode. And then on PC, what was your take?
PC ran absolutely perfectly for me. I actually prefer playing on PC half the time.
So, yeah, I probably should have done that because I didn't love performance. So while it performed well as someone with a VRR display, like let me tell you, the don't use VRR in this game because if you're using an OLED, because the white balance will just kind of go into chaos. So. I'm very susceptible to that. We had a main story of 26 hours, main and extra. That is not correct. Main and extra 35 hours of completionist of 48. 26 hours seems way too long. Am I wrong on that?
This is a question you ask me often. I realize I never actually pay attention to how long I play these games. I really can't speak to it, but what did it say, 40 hours for completionist? That's high.
Yeah. I would say knock about 5 to 6 hours off of all those. That's just my opinion. But completion is 48 hours and oh, that's it. Okay, sorry. So Lies of P. Let's talk about it.
Oh, so we'll play another Souls-like game.
For
very, very excited.
For people that hate the genre, we really do play a lot of them.
Well, The thing is, what I hate about the genre is the, again, like I said on the show before, and I'll say it again, Demon's Souls is one of my favorite games of all time. I think it's top 10 games of all time. It's one of the most influential, most important games ever made. What the problem with the Souls like genre for me is developers, including the Souls games themselves, they learn the wrong lessons in terms of creating competent, smooth, fair, and just action parts of their game. They really focus too much on the brutally unfair versions of the game and think that's what makes the Souls games, when really it's not just that. It's not just the big bosses, but it's also the smaller bosses that are actually smart and well created with the AI, and those fights are just really, really cool. And then also the exploration of those games are top notch. So when they focus on just, we got a big boss that kills you in one hit, it's like you missed the point, or one of the many points, rather. I will say Lies of P does a lot of good things that Souls games do, and also a lot of bad things that Souls games do.
Yeah, what I've interesting about your statement, in my opinion, is like I recently played through Jedi Fallen Order, no, Jedi Survivor, and people kind of forget those are 100% Souls-like games, which is a very strange thing when you really, like, no one really talks about that. Like, I remember when Jedi Fallen Order came out and people got their hands on it for the first time, they're just like, is this a Souls-like? like, okay, it is. And it's complete with like, oh, hey, I'm going to walk into this room and all of a sudden I got ganked by two dudes that I couldn't see because the camera was positioned in the particular way, because
like, exactly.
It's like, out of everything in the Souls-like genre, why is it that you decided to gank that of like, how about we just like beat the crap out of you in an unfair way? And they do it in Jedi Survivor as well sometimes. And it's just like, why? Stop. Don't, that's not cool. That's not fun. Like, trolling me is not fun. But no, I'm with you in that when it comes to stuff like Elden Ring, my favorite part about Elden Ring was just like walking through that world. Like, I don't particularly love the combat. I think a lot of the bosses are bullcrap. And, you know, I hate wandering into something, getting one-shotted by it, and then like just not really knowing how I got there. You know, like it, there's a lot good that I enjoy about it, but the over-punishing nature isn't a way to be like, I don't want hard games. I want difficult games. I want games that I can play and master, something like a Devil May Cry, and still have a good time. It's when you kind of just troll me for playing your game that I have issues with. And like you said, sometimes it's just like these developers just don't, I say that as if like I'm like some superior developer. I hate it when developers just try to do a blatant copy, and so then you end up copying things that maybe aren't particularly fun. But then again, why does From Software games still do that? Like, does anybody find that fun? I mean, does anybody find it fun when you just get one-shotted by an enemy, or you walk into you get basically ganked because of the camera? Like,
yes, that's what they come here for. The Souls.
Someone's got to explain that to me. Why?
They're not the Souls fans aren't a bright people. I'm going to go ahead and say that. But Lies of P, I will say honestly, let me ask you, what was your opinion on just the theme of this game, considering it is obviously you're playing as Pinocchio and you're taking place in the Pinocchio adventure world where Geppetto created you to do some things, and so you're going around, you're killing a bunch of stuff. Obviously it's a Souls game, so there's no real rhyme or reason to why you kill things. You just kill things to kill things. And then there's the big twist at the end that you saw, I want to say, 17 miles away. But the aesthetic for me of, like, essentially, it really just felt like Zack Snyder's Pinocchio.
Yeah, it's very much, I don't know if I'd call it Zack Snyder's, but do you ever see the movie Val Raven?
Yes.
Is that what it's called? I don't remember what it's called.
I don't remember anything about that.
That's my point. Is that, what, like, you're talking about? I remember the previews for that movie and being like, okay, like, this looks really nice. This looks really cool. However, why does it look this way? Like, it's just like everything is dark for the sake of being dark. Everything is, like, stylized for the sake of being stylized. It looks good, but I don't think it really adds to anything of the, like, the plot of the characters. It very much looks like a Souls game. It looks like what you think a Dark Souls would look like. But it doesn't necessarily, there's no, the themes don't always go together, in my opinion. And that's, doesn't hurt the game by any means, but it definitely doesn't elevate it for me because of that.
That's a good point. Yeah, it does. Yeah, I think that might have been my issue with it. I think you nailed it, because it doesn't look bad at all. If anything, you could argue it looks good. But it definitely, it doesn't have its own visual theme. It has the Souls visual theme, as opposed to something just unique that, because the premise is essentially unique enough. Like it's a unique take on the on Pinocchio, for sure. It's just a little bit unfortunate that they said, let's make it look like a Souls game.
Yeah. I'm like trying to contradict myself now of two of, but it's like, based on where the story does go and stuff, it. Yeah, I'm not gonna comment on that, I guess.
no comment, guys.
It's tough. Like, I still agree with everything I said and everything that you said, but at the same time, it's the reason I'm not saying anything is because of spoilers. I don't want to spoil anything. But I think you could make the argument that part of the story could lend itself to looking the way that it does. However, I think that would be a stretch. So
it's no spoiler to know that Ergo is your souls in this game, and you collect Ergo. Ergo is your currency. Ergo is your level up points. You get those by killing enemies. The enemies are other puppets. Evil puppets are evil puppets have taken over the world of Krat or whatever, wherever you're at, and then, well, that's the name of the hotel. I don't know. Anyway, you kill other evil puppets, and then there are people who try to kill you because they're infected and they hate puppets because puppets are killing people, so you're a puppet, so, like, everything's trying to kill you. The puppets, the people, and the robots. it started losing me plot wise when they started throwing in cyborgs and robots, and then zombies also are a thing. So it hits, it really hits all of the Souls genre enemies all in one game.
It sort of feels like they did that specifically to be like, okay, we've got to have zombies, right? Like, right. We've got to have zombies, right? So, also, is this just Mega Man X? Anybody?
It's just Mega Man
X. The story is just Mega Man X, right?
Oh. It's pretty close.
it's
pretty close. One of the best games of all time,
by the
way.
It truly is. X1 and X4, I could sit down and play anytime. But, like, so who's Sigma? Who'd be Sigma in this situation?
It will be the you didn't get there, the final boss.
No, yeah, I did not. So I've seen the final boss, yeah. But no, I did not. I did not play it. So.
Yeah, it will definitely be the nameless puppet.
Got it. Okay. Interesting. Sorry, not to derail this.
I want to talk about some things I do like, because it is. When you copy a Souls game, because that's what this game does. It copies a Souls game from, like, that's the basis of it. But what does that really mean? Because there's so many of these Souls likes. I would say it copied one of the better ones. This definitely feels like a Bloodborne Demon Souls mix to me.
Yeah, it's definitely it tries to do more than just sort of be difficult, if that makes sense. Like, it's still very difficult, but Demon Souls and Bloodborne definitely it felt like as you kept playing, it tries to give you more options, even though it kind of doesn't in a weird way, but it feels like it does. And I felt that going through this of as I started unlocking things and as I sort of started to understand what it wanted me to do with some of the weapons and stuff like that, I definitely felt like it was trying to be better, if that makes sense, like try to be an actual RPG. I don't know if it actually gets there, but I think for me, that's a big delineation from like Demon Souls and Bloodborne in particular. I felt like as you get through those games, I felt like a better player. And I don't think I ever really got that from Souls, any of the Dark Souls games or even Elden Ring. So,
yeah, you really just got better at rolling. Right. That's all you get better at. Whereas Lies of P does a much better job in that because there are a lot of these mechanics, big and small, that once you start to master, you start to feel better and better and better. Like the blocking mechanic, I think, is one of the best blocking mechanics in this genre, where you have your stagger, you have your stamina, so you can't block forever. So you really want to focus on those perfect blocks because it doesn't take stamina away. And if anything, it hurts the enemy stagger meter. So you really need to figure out when you want to block and when you want to roll. And it's really going to come down to your preference on playing. And that's when the role-playing aspect comes in very well for me, because I don't think any two people are going to have the exact same build and approach to Lies of P. There's a lot of stuff you can do with the different weapons, the weapon abilities, and just your own personal playstyle. Because Lies of P does a very good job of keeping you in the fight. That's something Souls games just don't like to do for some reason. Like the best action games, whether it's Souls or even a shooter like Doom, like they want you to keep playing. They want you to keep fighting. They want you to stay in the fight. And Lies of P does a great job of that by constantly giving you ways of getting more health, getting more stamina, getting more, I forgot if it's called ether or whatever they call their spirit points. It is very much an action game that says, like, keep going. And you never feel, I'm contradicting myself here in a minute, but you never feel like you're completely out of the fight. You always felt you got one more go.
Yeah, your strategy can kind of change mid-fight sometimes, depending on how it's going. And I agree that it's not Bloodborne in that, like, Bloodborne rewarded you for, like, you basically had to be aggressive in that game. It was kind of like the antithesis of the Souls game of, like, turtling up and picking your moment. Like, you kind of really had to be far more aggressive. It was more of an action game than the others. And actually, like, that's, I am a big Bloodborne fan. Like, if I had to pick a favorite one, it'd probably be that one, because I enjoyed that more. And I understand that it's not for everyone, but it's Lies of P gives you a little bit more. You can kind of play it either way. And the big one being, you know, like when you run out of your potion, whatever, I don't remember what they call it, you know, you can get it back, you know, like you're not just SOL until you get to the next save point, basically. And that saved me during a boss fight, you know, like that became sort of my goal of, okay, like I'm taking too much damage here. I got to kind of, I'm now out of potions. I have to now step back, be a little bit more defensive. And then if I'm a defensive enough, I can actually get more health. And it's something small, but it does go a long way. And it's not like, it doesn't trickle up either. Like, it's not this stupid thing where it's like, oh, if you're like really good and you really start blocking, then maybe you'll get a potion. Like, no, it's pretty lenient on that stuff, which is, I'm a fan of that style. So
I completely agree. And not only did it save me a few times, like I relied on it. Like it was my go-to playstyle, just being extra aggressive and going, all right, so you're not dead yet, but I am. All right, so let me just get these potions right, get this potion back, because if I get hit a few perfect blocks, we're back in the fight. So like that, that's definitely the one of the better things of Lies of P. That in the weapon customization is I think is pretty darn good for one of these games. You can mix and match your handles and blades pretty creatively to create some really devastating weapons and play styles that suit you and you alone. So I do like that as well. What I don't like, where it starts to lose me, is although it does so many of the role-playing games well, aspects well, like building a character, it loses me completely when you get to the upgrade system. The upgrade path is one of those that we hate on this show, where it's not designed to make you feel cooler or give you these cool things to do, or it's not that horizontal upgrade path where you're getting new, even though you're not, the numbers don't, it's not just numbers going up, you're getting new abilities that make you do new things. Instead, you're getting abilities that just make the game tolerable. For example, any Souls game you pick up, when you hit the ground, you can roll around like it's not a big deal. Like you expect to do it. You have to unlock the ability to roll off the ground. So up until you're probably about 2 hours in the game, depending on how well you play, to actually be able to roll off the ground or even roll twice. Like it's not till hour 10 or 15 that you feel like a full character, and that feeling is the same feeling you get from minute one of any of these other games.
Yeah. I don't know if it, the ability. So I guess it would just depend on your play style though, too. Like if you want to be more aggressive, then yeah, I think
you need that roll.
Exactly.
Off the ground.
So it's
like it's necessary.
And I think where it became more of a problem for me was that I tried playing this initially as like a Souls game of a full on, like, I'm going to turtle up and Souls this. And that's almost the wrong way to play it. But I don't know if the game basically teaches you that until you start unlocking some of those things. So it's, you're not wrong, but at the same time, it did not bother me as much as it does in some of those other games. And I can't quite put my finger on it, other than the fact that, like, once you unlock a few of the skills, whatever you want to call them, I think it starts to become more clear of like, okay. Like you do want me to be more aggressive, and I should have been more aggressive from the start, but because of my, you know, biases or whatever, the fact that I've played, quote, other Souls games, I didn't quite pick up on that. Maybe I should have picked up on that, the fact that you could regain your health, and also the fact that you do take chip damage, you know, when you're doing your blocking. Maybe I'm dumb, but I didn't pick up on that. So maybe that's why, again, it didn't bother me, but it definitely was just like, okay. Like, whatever.
It definitely irked me to all heck, just because some of these very basic maneuverability skills, like, I mean, real basic moving skills, it completely changes the play style and just survivability. So like to gatekeep rolling in a Souls game is just dumb to me. Like I just couldn't wrap my head around it.
Yeah, that's fair. I think for me, I think in the end, you're going to end up liking this game more than me. And for me, like I'm going to sound a little bit, snobbish, I guess. But I just, am I crazy, or is this game just a little too hard? Like,
no. So you're not crazy. So this game has a difficulty issue for sure. Like it, like it's an art. It's objectively an issue. I feel like this. This is not a get good argument anymore. Like this is it's not one of those funny arguments. Like I created a build that was pretty deadly, and I was one at best two shotting regular enemies. I had the formula down to the point where I would get to bosses and go, oh, I could beat this boss in two, three tries. I got it now. Like I'm doing enough damage. I got the gameplay down. Like we're good to go. But then all of a sudden it will just randomly, like in between bosses, it will throw in bosses that are just incredibly difficult in a way where, like, why is this boss so hyper aggressive? Why is this boss reading all my inputs? Why is this boss so just ridiculous compared to the one before and even the one after? Like, toward the end, you start fighting things that are just like, why? Like, why is, like, you don't even know where the hitbox is. You don't know where you're getting hit from. Like, it's that's where Liza P just really starts trying to push me off the edge there, because it's like, you got me in this gameplay loop just to kick me out of it because you want to be a Souls game so freaking bad. And you learn the wrong lesson from what makes a great boss fight.
Yeah, for me, I remember, like, it was kind of near the first couple hours of the game. Like, it's after the first boss. And what I'll say is that first boss reminds me a lot of whatever that first boss's name in Elden Ring, of like you're either on board or you're not here, because once he goes into his little like last phase or whatever, like he becomes this super hyper aggressive boss all of a sudden. And like, it makes sense, right? He's near death. So he's kind of going into a new, you know, form, whatever, but the game sort of flips the script on you in that last point. But the thing is it's not difficult enough that most people, they can kind of mash on the button and probably finish it. They might not the first time, but I think you can probably see what I'm saying. But then, like, shortly after that, I'm going up on these roofs and everything, and then I get to this point to where I'm trying to go into, like, this library, and there's this dude standing at the door. And I'm like, okay, I'll fight this guy. And he just comes out swinging like crazy. Like, yeah, like he just, yeah. I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
And so, but then the problem was, is that it wasn't that I couldn't figure out what was going on. It was also because I was on a rooftop. So I didn't really, like, the game isn't good enough, or the whatever you want to call it, the movement, the parrying, the whatever isn't strong enough that I had to hyper be aware of where I was at. And because if I roll off the roof, I'm basically dead. Like, the fall damage is ridiculously high in this game. And so it became really frustrating, because it's like, I'm not saying that this guy is too difficult, but you've now put me in a situation where I don't even have time to learn, like, because I'm constantly having to balance staying alive from fall damage, but also trying to learn this boss. Like, I'm not saying that every boss needs to be like, I need to be able to sit down and read them instantly, but this wasn't even a boss. Like you said, this was just like a dude. Like, I wasn't even sure. Like, I was like, is this like going to be a normal enemy? Because if that's the case, like, I'm out. Like, because this is, he is very difficult, even when you learn his path or his tells, whatever. But, and also, like, sometimes the windows and the hitboxes and the parry window,
they're off.
Yeah.
They're
I'm like, wait a minute. Like
yeah.
Is it because of, like, the wind up on this guy? Like, is the wind up, I'm just not reading it correctly, but then I'll go to the next guy and that's just like a regular enemy and I can hit the parry, not every time. But it just seems like those windows and those tells and stuff, like, they're just not quite there yet. And that's like a playtesting thing as well as just kind of like a development thing. But it happens frequently, like you said, to where you're having a good time and then all of a sudden the game's just like, haha, gotcha, boom. And I'm like, wait a minute, like, let's slow down, because you had me. And this isn't like a situation to where, like, I walked into a room and it's like, it's very clear that this dude is going to try to mess me up. Sometimes I'm just walking around and all of a sudden this random dude runs in and just destroys me. And I'm like, okay, that wasn't fun. Like, okay, let me try this again. And I go back in, and again, he just wipes the floor with me. And I'm just like, okay, I guess, you know. And it's frustrating. Like, it's a different kind of Souls frustrating to me. you know, like souls, souls have that particular frustration that you're used to. And this was just like a pure, just like game development of just like, this is not fun. This is too difficult. So.
Yeah. And that's exactly what happens with the difficulty spike. And that difficulty spike you're talking about, where you notice how essentially broken like parts of the gameplay is because of the hitboxes and the lack of maneuverability and the fact that some of that maneuverability that you need is locked behind stuff. Like it all starts to add up and it hits you like a brick at random times. Like it's not like the game ramps up and at the end it starts throwing all this stuff at you. Like it's literally just sprinkled throughout. And it's not, again, it's not a get good issue. It's a, your hitbox is off issue. It's a, the AI is just way too hyper aggressive issue. And it's still just, I still don't understand the unfairness that people look for in these games. And when it comes to fighting these characters, like these other enemies, because the part of the game that I genuinely like that cat and mouse is seeing how much stamina I have, seeing how much energy I have, seeing how much health points I have, and going, what attacks am I going to do? How often am I going to attack? When am I going to block? When am I going to roll? Like this is all like genius gameplay that I genuinely enjoy. But then you start fighting these random bosses like that guy you're talking about. That AI has infinite stamina.
Yeah, he's just swinging like mad,
like infinite stamina. Why is that fun for anybody? Like that boss should get tired out just as much as I do, because that will create a much better experience of who's better here, as opposed to, all right, I'm just gonna roll, block, perfect block, missed it, perfect block, missed it, roll. Heavy attack. Oh, you read my input, so you start right. Swinging again. Like that happens a lot in this game. There's a lot of input reads by the enemies, and that for me in any action game is some of the most immersion breaking aspects of the game, because I know that boss was not going to go into that fourth hit of his combo, but it saw me. But it knew I was winding up for a heavy attack, so that delayed attack turned to a real attack. I could tell the difference, and it's so apparent in this game. So like, there's a lot of difficulty spikes in this game that I genuinely think even Souls fans are going to jump off of, because it's not something you can almost power level your way through.
Yeah, and it's, I think for me, like that's it becomes a self-doubt thing, because the reputation of these games are like, no, this game is hyper, you know, it's going to challenge you. And so then I get in this like frustration loop of just like, okay, like, is this a me problem or a game problem? And then anytime that you call it a game problem, you know, a Souls fan is going to be like, absolutely not. Like, you are wrong. You just need to get good. And so it becomes that self-deprecating, like, just like, okay, do I suck or not kind of thing. I think this is an instance to where, no, most of the time it's a game problem. Like when I get into these issues where I just cannot seem to block this dude, or I cannot parry this dude, what am I doing wrong? There's something that's just changed about the game, whether it's reading inputs, whether that the windup is, you know, something is changing about it. I'm not a developer enough to know about it, but it's, I think the more frustrating part is like, because I want to like Lies of P a lot, actually. I really do. I enjoy the weapons. I enjoy the, I don't remember what they call it, like the stagger system. I enjoy the parrying. Like, it looks really neat. I like the way the enemies look. I like the way the bosses look. Everything feels, the thing that I love most about it is the feeling of when I hit somebody hard in this game.
Yeah,
it feels awesome. Like when you've got a particular, like, man, like there's that giant scythe weapon you can get. Like that thing is awesome. I feel awesome using that thing. Whenever I hit somebody and I hit that perfect hit, I'm like, yes, did it. And then like every once in a while there's something. It's just like, I should be able to attack this dude and I just can't. Oddly enough, the game it reminds me of is Dead Space. Like Dead Space, like, when you've got the right gun and, it, you know, the feel of that game is just so good. And that's how I felt in this game. And then it wasn't enough to turn me off from it, but I was like, man, I wish this was playtested a little bit more. I wish there was a little bit less BS in this game and I could just enjoy it more.
I completely agree. The aesthetic from a graphical standpoint for me is really cool. Like, it is visceral, and I like cutting down puppets and being covered in the puppet oil blood. Like, it just looks and feels cool. But that said, like, at the end of the day, like, I actually finished this game. And it's a thing about Souls games for me, is where before I say anything bad about it, I have to beat it, because it's just like you said, once you start criticizing a Souls, like, the fans just like, well, you're just not good enough. You're like, well, and like, that's where I go, I beat this game. Right.
Yeah, that's...
It has some problems. It has a lot of problems. But whereas Lies of P, it does have a lot of problems, whereas, like, ultimately I didn't like the setting of this game. Like, I thought it was, like, it's supposed to be super dark and serious, but I just thought everything was really funny. Like, the fact that you're playing, like, as Pinocchio and it's, like, super dark and this stuff, and it's like, this is corny as all heck, man. This is just goofy.
Yeah, it's such a weird, like, I don't say a weird plot point, but, like, it's such a weird idea. Like, it's just such an out there idea. It's just kind of strange.
And it's supposed to be taken seriously. We have to end it here. I'm going to spoil one thing, and it's the end credits, like the after the end credits Marvel teaser. So if you don't want to hear this, you can fast forward to whatever. You'll figure that out for them, Corey, as you edit this.
Yeah, sure, totally. How about 30 seconds. I'll give you 30 seconds. How about that?
30 seconds. Okay. All right, cool. All right. So starting now. So the end credit Marvel scene that made me laugh out loud, because this was already goofy enough, laughed out loud, was there's a train. There's a character's on the train, and they're like, well, that experiment went well. On to the next. We got just all the information we needed. Now, on to the next person, so we can figure out, get some more information, and I know exactly where she is. And then you see these red shoes walking around the screen, and they click, and it's like, really? Like, this is like the fairy tale universe. Right. Like,
everything's got to be its own, you know, multifaceted universe.
I laughed the hardest. You know, and that day when I saw that's just so funny to me. Just I can't wait for Dorothy and then Hansel and Gretel, Souls likes, and all of this just ridiculous nonsense.
I think they can do it, but it's going to require a different style of writing. That's what I'll say.
Yes. Yeah, so. Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
We'll see. Weirdly enough, like, is that the Darksiders? Franchise kind of tried this a little bit of, like, each game is kind of its own style, if that makes sense. Like, you know, the third Darksiders was a straight up Souls like, you know, people kind of forget that.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Was. So it's like, yeah, but interesting. But yeah. So yeah, to wrap it up, I like Liza P, but it's not disappointing. I'm disappointed that I couldn't like it more than I did. I don't dislike it by any means. Absolutely don't dislike it. But it sort of feels like a Gen 1 product from them. I think, you know, if they tighten everything up, if they just play test it a little bit more, if they make it just more fun, you know, a little just less annoying, I think it would have been, I think it could be really, really good. Like, it could be one of the best Souls likes, in my opinion. But that stuff, it's not enough to spoil the experience, but it definitely was enough for me just kind of, you know, like, okay. Like, enjoyed it. There's certain things that I super like about this. But I think you could argue that with any game. Like, you know, most of the time there's one or two things that really click with you and everything else around it is good enough that you don't notice it or it doesn't bother you. And in this instance, there was one or two things that just annoyed me enough that I couldn't kind of get over it. So
I think it actually is one of the better Souls-likes and honestly by a wide margin, just because there's so many of these and they all end up being so just mediocre and almost carbon copies, whereas Lies of P, I think, excels in creating a different experience in some ways, and then just taking some gameplay aspects of all of these games and putting the parry system in the dodging system in the blocking system all together, making them flow in the way that they do. I feel like I really enjoyed it. There's a lot of parts that you can really enjoy. The worst thing I think that's going to hit people is the difficulty spike. And that's just going to depend on not how good you are, but just how much you want to punish yourself, which is sadly half the reason most of these people like these games. So I'm going to say this being one of the better Souls game that you should play and pass it on to your friends. Just be aware of that difficulty spike, and it's not you, it's the game.
There you go. Unanimous, play it, pass it on. I mean, we are obviously the harbingers of everything that is correct. So play it, pass it on to a friend, have some fun with Liza P, tell some lies. Yeah, we didn't really talk really much. There is kind of like a morality system, but it's whatever.
All it does is change the ending.
Yeah, that's what I read too, is it just kind of changed, but I digress. There you go.
If you want the true ending, lie all the time. Whenever you get an opportunity, just lie.
I felt bad, but anyways. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Game Pass or Pass. When it comes to the future of this show, Badger can't decide if he's playing Quake 2 or not.
I'm definitely not playing Quake 2.
Oh my God, yeah, I'm gonna murder you in your sleep. So we're going to be talking about some Quake 2 out of all things. There's a couple games that we have played that we just haven't had a chance to make an episode on that the other has not. So that's why we've been kind of sitting on those. But let's see what we got coming out. Cocoon came out. I'm definitely going to be playing that. We're playing some Solar Ash. I think we're going to talk about that a little bit.
Lamplighters League, I'm pumped for.
That looks cool, but I have my reservations. And then that Party Animals came out. I have no idea what that is. But some people are really enjoying that. So I think that's an Xbox only. It's not on PC. So we might have to hop into that just to see what it is and go from there. But Forza is coming out next week, actually. So if you are a...
Came out several years ago, too.
Yeah, Forza Motorsport was on the original Xbox, not the Xbox One. Confusing. So yeah, they're doing a remaster. If you pay for an early version, it's coming out on Friday. But if you wait, it's coming out on that following Tuesday. So the 10th, I believe. The 10th or the 6th or the 5th, something like that. So I'm a Forza person. It's been a long time since we've had a actual Forza Motorsport, which is kind of crazy when you think about it, because they used to come out every other year. But, you know, it's been 6 years, 7 years since we had a proper Forza. So I'm interested to see what they do. Obviously racing games are always a spectacle to look at, but also it's coming out on PC day one. So that's the first time I think for a Motorsport game, that it's ever come out on PC. So I'll be interested to check that out as well. So, but all right, that is going to do it for this episode of Game Pass or Pass. We'll see you next time with probably a game.
Good day, sirs.